This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. You know a man's home is his castle, and I'm coming
home to groove. Oh, and I'll see you when I get. Hey, congratulations to Kent Williams. He has just been named the head basketball coach at DeSmet High School. He succeeds Blake Ahern, who's headed for the San Antonio Spurs organization. Kent Williams had one of the most decorated prep careers and college careers in this area's history. He scored over 2,000 points at Mount Vernon High School. Scored 48 points in the shootout. Just think of all the legendary players in the history of that shootout. And Kent Williams holds the record with 48 points. I believe he broke Ted DuPay's record. Then he goes to SIU Carbondale. We're talking about a 6'1" white guy with not a whole lot of vertical. He scored 2,000 points at SIU Carbondale. And congratulations to Kent Williams, now the new head coach at DeSmet High School. All right. What I recommend, and I just got it yesterday in the mail, is for you to pick up a copy of the new book that's come out, The 100-Yard Journey, A Life in Coaching and Battling for the Win, the Gary Pinkel story, written by our good friend Dave Matter. And the coach joins us now. Coach, great to be with you. How are you?
Hi, Frank. I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Real good. Boy, I wish I had more time to read this last night, but I'm skimming through it. I can't wait to delve into it this weekend. It looks like a great book. The pictures are unbelievable, especially with you with the long hair back in college.
Yeah, well, you know, it just does to your, you know, just watch when I arrived here and when I left. I mean, you know, it's a little pressure in this job, and as you well know. And I do miss our talks every week. You know, I think we did it for about 12 straight years. I would call in every week, and he always did things with class and integrity and everything, and asked the tough questions when they needed asked and everything. But you did a great job. So it's kind of nice to talk to you again. The books, I didn't quit coaching and just wake up one day and say, hey, I'm gonna write my book. I'm not like that. In fact I didn't even think about it, but some writers and some publishers got a hold of me, and then it became serious. And so it's kind of about my life and coaching, and you know, a lot of things that we went through and a lot of things that we did.
And I get the impression that the same attention to detail and how meticulous you were as a coach, you and Dave Matter applied that to this book.
Yeah, Dave did a great job. You know, I've known Dave. Dave's known me for a long time, too, and he was the guy really I wanted from day one. And, you know, we just – one thing when you do something like this for me is you can't sensationalize it and make my life better than it is. I mean, it is what it is. And so all I want to do, the most important thing I want to do, is just be honest in the whole book. And really, my story is a lot about all the people that I've been surrounded with my entire life, you know, and a lot of places where you said you can't win and be successful, you know, we won and we're successful, you know, we, not me. And we had a great run, you know, in football, playing football since I've been 7 years old and coached up until, you know, I was 62 years old. So it was a great run, and it was about all the people that kind of helped me, and we are part of some great things.
One of the people that have helped you in your life, who you were very close to, of course, is Nick Saban, the head coach at Alabama. You were grad assistants together for the Golden Flashes at Kent State after your playing career was over. And I want to read this little section when you were grad assistants. This is Nick Saban writing this. Gary and I used to have to take turns driving to Pittsburgh every Saturday night after our games just to get the film developed. One of us would make the drive while the other slept. The sleeper would then pull an all-nighter, breaking down the film into our offense. How do you remember that?
Oh my! What he's saying, what he was complaining about it, and he wrote the foreword of my book, as you mentioned. What he was complaining about was how easy the graduate assistants have it nowadays. They just press buttons. We had to do all this incredible things, stay up all night. And he was saying how soft their life is compared to us older guys that had those great experiences.
I think the most emotional part of this book was when it was after your DUI, and Bo Brinkley, the long snapper, came in, and I'm going to read it. Bo, what are you doing here? Coach, can I come in and talk? Of course, he came in, and right next to me, sat on my couch, and then he said, I'm going to do what you did to me. It was the best thing that happened in my life. And you write, I was completely stunned. Coach, I got a DWI a couple of years ago. You brought me into your office and told me you've got a choice how you're going to handle this. This is going to make you a better person or it's going to make you worse. One or the other. When you said that, I looked at myself and changed things I needed to change so that this would never happen again. He gave me a hug. He walked out, and after that, Coach, you broke down.
Yeah, that was real emotional for me. You know that's the thing about the book is we covered everything. I mean, you know, I got a DWI. That was, I don't know, about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, sometime then. And so I had to own it. And when I did this thing, you know, I had to be responsible. And so much of it was watching all my players see how I handled it. You know, I had to handle it the right way. And so Bo's, you know, he's a long snapper for the Tennessee Titans and just a remarkable kid. And one of the great things about my coach, people ask me what I miss. Probably the thing I miss the very most, without question, is my players, being around my players, hugging them, helping them, you know, chewing them out when they need that and helping them mature as young men. And that's what I miss the most.
And then we go to the Michael Sam saga. After an August meeting, I got a call from Craig Kuligowski, our defensive line coach. Michael came out in our meeting, he said. Excuse me, you said? He said, Coach, Michael told the players he was gay. You pick it up from there.
Well, it was something that it's interesting because about 2 years before that, we were in Big 12 meetings somewhere. I think it was we were still in the Big 12 at the time. And where coaches were talking about, we were just talking about somebody in this country is going to have a gay player and you're going to have to deal with it. And we're all looking at each other like, it's not going to be us who have to deal with it, not us. But guess what? I got all the things. Incredible how our football program handled that. I think we did a lot of things within our program prior to of talking about diversity and talking about acceptance and being respectful to people that are different than you. And I had a great leadership on our team. We had great kids on our team. I called Mike in, Michael Sam, the next morning, and he came in. I gave him a hug and said, whatever you want to do, let me know. We're going to do it, and you just got to be thinking about it and so on and so forth. And then I got the captains in, and, hey, captains, what do you want me to do? These captains are so great because they knew the heartbeat of the team, and that's how we were always. We kind of create a real family atmosphere and communication. And they just said, Coach, we're going to be okay. I said, I'll have a team meeting. I'll do whatever you think I should do right now. Well, let's just let it slide. I said, okay, well, you got to let me know daily what's going on. We had a few little things that happened in the program, very, very minor. But it was really, really remarkable. And then you fast forward at the, you know, he's the defensive player of the year in the SEC. He comes out a little bit later after that. And I'm on Mike and Mike in the Morning. I'm on ABC Good Morning America. And people just kept saying to me, how in the world did those players, somebody nowadays with cell phones and all that stuff, nobody tweeted that out. Nobody communicated that. How did that happen? I just said, we ended up fifth in the nation that year. It was a very special team. And I get chills thinking about it. We just had a great, great group of kids. And I think at the end of the day, one of the things that I think most came out of this was I think it helped a lot of people, understand it a little bit. And you don't have to agree with things, but being respectful to people never changes. And I think that's maybe the one thing that came out of this whole thing. Is just because you disagree with someone doesn't mean, you can treat them poorly, be disrespectful, those kind of things. And I think if there's anything that came out of that, I think maybe that did and might have helped a lot of people and helped us all.
Another powerful part of the book was how you handled the protest. And you write, I sat at my desk in tears. I was just an emotional wreck. They don't deserve this. I kept saying, they don't deserve this. What a powerful time that was for you in your coaching career.
Yeah. I think so. Which one are you talking about here? I'm sorry.
Well, with the dealing
the phone went. My phone went out a second. I'm sorry.
Dealing with the protest by the players and just what a troubling time that was. And the heat you caught for the stand you took. I mean, it was popular with players, but some people didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We did. I followed in the book. I talked about the procedure. You know, the procedure that I follow, every procedure I've ever done. So I talk about that. I explain when you come to a decision like that, Gary Pinkle just doesn't decide what he's going to do when he does it. You know, in anything of a serious nature. And I followed the same procedure that I normally did, and I talked in the book about what that was, and and how it did. And you know what? It's leadership requires sometimes really difficult decisions. You have to do what you think's best in collaboration, obviously, with the administration and so on and so forth. And at the end of the day, we did it. I think things like this also bring out the best in people and the worst in people. And that happened also. But the university's going to rebound fine. And at the end of the day, we did what we felt was the right thing to do. And there was a lot of administratively. I'm not saying it was a mess. That's probably not the correct word to use. But there was this, our administrative leadership at this university at the time was very, very difficult. And obviously, it was a reflection on some of the things that happened.
A few more minutes with Gary Pinkel. It seems like coaches are becoming less and less accessible, and coaches are allowing less and less time for the media to kind of do their job and promote the product around the state. You were a guy that did come on this show for every week for 12 years, and you did allow some media access. What do you think of the way it's trending now in college football?
I don't know. I think, with so much out there, with the cell phones, with all this social media, with all the things that are out there, it's just a never-ending, it never stops. And I know I think some people are really tightening it up, and I think it's easy to tighten it up. I get that. I understand that. We kind of did it the way we felt was the best, and it was fair, and so on and so forth. But I think what some people are doing, I think maybe Barry might be doing the same thing, is following the trend that's happening. And that's just kind of really with restriction on and how much time. So I don't have an answer for that. I think obviously, being able to communicate, having press conferences and those things to tell your story, I think are hugely important. But you're right, it's tightening up in this league. And, it's funny about college football, it's forever changing. And this just seems to be a trend.
Do you have a good feel for this Missouri team? What do you think? Have you seen much of them in practice?
Yeah, I've been to a few practices in the spring, and it was some practice last week, I think. And I think there's a lot of good things here. I think, the defense, I think that Terry Beckner, has crossed the river there, in East St. Louis. He's had two surgeries. I felt when we recruited Terry Beckner as defensive tackle, he's number five now. He's about 320, and he looks like he's a linebacker on the field. He's healthy 100%. I felt, honestly, when we signed him, if he stayed healthy, his third year he'd been Outland Trophy candidate. Well, he's been injured, and he's healthy now. And I think we'll see tremendous things, and he'll be the mainstay of that up front on our defense, among some other good players that we have there. I think so. And Barry's running that, and I think that's very positive. And then I think Drew Locke, people, I explained, we recruited Drew. I thought he had potential to be a great, great quarterback, and I still think he does. The thing he didn't have a lot of experience. He played AAU basketball all summer long. And so Chase Daniel played as a freshman son. Chase, that's all he did football his whole life. It was it. And so he was so advanced. And Drew's a very smart kid, but he really, football common sense, he really wasn't trained very well just because he was playing basketball and baseball and all these other things. So first year we had to play him, Matty Mock problems, and then we were forcing him to play, and he shouldn't have been playing. Last year, a young offensive line. He played. He made a lot of mistakes. Did a lot of great things. And I think this is the year that he will. He's been very well coached. He has got to play. He's got to help Mizzou win games with his play, and he's certainly capable of doing that. And we'd play good defense, get to a bowl game, win a bowl game, and get things rolling, and that'd be pretty awesome.
All right, Coach. Before we let you go, we play this quick game called Hit and Run. No hedging on any of these questions. They're fast. Here we go. Most satisfying Mizzou win ever for Gary Pinkel.
2007 against Kansas.
Hardest you've ever worked at recruiting a player. Which player?
We recruited hard everybody. I didn't an answer you don't want, but I mean, we recruited everybody really hard. So it's hard for me to come up with one.
One Mizzou player in history you would want protecting your family.
Protecting my family. I'd probably take Shane Ray.
All right, good one. Most gut-wrenching loss in Mizzou history for you.
Oh, gosh, I had so many. we had so many. I feel bad. We went to five divisional championships in a 9-year period of time, which was one of the best in the nation. from 2007 to 2015. And he did remarkable things winning and so on and so forth. But I never, ever won the championship. You know what I'm saying? We were two wins away from playing in the national championship game. But I never got that done. He did a lot of great things, okay? But I didn't get that done. So that's the gut-wrenching thing for me.
No football in this world, you would have done what?
Probably be a pilot.
All right. Fastest you've ever driven your Harley?
I can't say that.
Lowest.
That would be a bad influence.
Lowest round of golf in your lifetime?
My best round of golf was a 68.
Wow. Was
that? Well, I'm a 20 handicap now. I'm so awful. How I feel about my golfing right now, I can't express on the radio how I feel about it.
All right, you can't hedge on this one. You're starting a program right now, and you can pick any of your Mizzou players in history to build around. Who's the first player you build around?
Oh, gosh, that is so bad. That's such an awful question. You know, I get so many of that. You know, guess what? 15 years ago today, Brad Smith was a redshirt freshman against Illinois.
Wow.
Okay? And if we think about what's happened since then and what his influence on Mizzou football, Chase Daniel, you passed those guys up. There's so many great kids and so many great players. You know, we won a lot of games, had a great run here at Mizzou. But, you know, you have to have great players to do that, and we had a bunch.
All right. Word association. Quick thought. Michael Sam.
Huge influence.
Brad Smith.
Remarkable athlete.
Chase Daniel.
In person.
Chase Daniel.
Chase Daniel, one of the best quarterbacks ever.
Jeremy Maclin.
Just remarkably athletic and not only a great player, but a great teammate.
The closest you ever came to leaving Mizzou was when and where?
To do what to Mizzou?
The closest you ever came to leaving Mizzou, when and where? Did you ever look hard at another school?
I looked at Washington, Michigan I was in contact with, and I just didn't want to move. I didn't want to start over rebuilding the program. And again, we stayed and we accomplished an awful lot here. So I love Mizzou, and I still do, and wanted to be well.
Final thought, how would you like to be remembered in Columbia?
I'd like to be remembered for a guy that came in a program that had two winning seasons in 17 years, and at the end of the day, you know, won five championships and had a lot of success winning, graduated his players, ran the program with honesty and integrity, and the number one goal was to develop young men. That's how I'd love to remember.
Coach, congratulations, and I can't wait to read this book. I encourage everybody to read it, The 100-Yard Journey, A Life in Coaching and Battling for the Win, the Gary Pinkel Story, written by Dave Matter. Coach, we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it.
All right. Gary Pinkel joining us. We'll take a short time out. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan.